Let's pray before we turn to God's Word together. Lord, thank you. Though I don't know this congregation in detail, I do know its heart, and I know they are hard after you. And that comes from being students of your Word and being in your Word, and I pray that you would send your Spirit now, that we would have our hearts open to what you want to teach each one of us, that we might leave here following more closely after Jesus, being conformed to his image, being changed into his likeness, that those who don't know might see your light in some way this week. For we hunger, we thirst for those around us to know the grace we know. We pray that because of this hour, it might be shared in some way in this week ahead. Thank you in advance for what you're going to do, Jesus. Amen. Colossians 4, beginning with verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. This is a great letter from Paul. I have permission from Hank DeGraff to preach as long as I want. But I do want to look at briefly this summary part of Paul's letter. If you haven't read Colossians or looked at it carefully, it is a marvelous letter. It was written really by Paul to come up against some false teachers who were leading God's people astray. You might have heard of the Gnostics, people who thought they had special knowledge and didn't believe in matter and that matter didn't matter literally. The legalists and the ceremonialists who were trying to pull people away from the grace of God. And in its place, we have this jewel of Scripture that holds up the supremacy of Christ, the sufficiency we have in Jesus, that we have everything we need when we have Jesus. He's the center of our faith. And anytime we supplant in our faith or in the gospel something for Jesus, the church is no longer the church, and faith is no longer the faith. I had a discussion with a pastor a couple of years ago. He wanted to be involved in a church plant that we were doing in Holland, and I had quite a conversation with him, but as I poked at his theology and as I asked him some questions, it became clear that he had some pretty strange views of the atonement, and that he didn't think Christ was the only way to salvation. And at that point, I looked at him, and as lovingly as I could, I said, why would you want to be in the CRC or RCA denominations? That's not what we believe. And he said, you're right. And he went off to another denomination I won't name, where he is much more at home. Paul writes this letter to make sure we understand that Jesus Christ is the center of our faith, that we have all sufficiency and our salvation is in him. And at this point, we are now at the conclusion of this jewel of a letter, and I want to bring three things before us that Paul brings before us, and summaries are wonderful things. So I want to bring three things. First, he calls us to zesty prayer. You've probably never heard that as a point before. He calls us to zesty prayer. Look at verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. That word devoted is used 10 times in the New Testament. It means to continue, to be strong. In fact, it's built on the word, the Greek word for being strong. And it's not always a word we associate with prayer, but he says be strong. Then he says be watchful, not rote or a burden, but it means to be alive, to spiritual alertness, to zest. Now somebody's saying, okay, you've made that the main point of the summary. Are you sure that it deserves that much emphasis? I am absolutely sure. You want to know why? You want to know what the word for watchfulness is in the Greek? Gregoriantos. Does that sound like anything? Anybody got a kid named Greg here? Gregory? Anybody got a kid named Gregory? Do you know that that was one of the top names for children in the early church? They named their kids Zesty Prayer. Gregoriantos. They called their kids zesty prayer. That's what the watchful is. That's how much it meant to the early church. The third thing he says here about prayer is to be thankful. You want to change your prayer life? Add a huge dose of being thankful. I guarantee it will bring you into zesty prayer. Where did I see God today? And then give thanks for that. A couple months ago, I was sitting at my folks' cottage up in Greenville, and a storm rolled in. And the thunder and lightning brought me back to when I was a kid. And not far from where that cottage is, I was with a little, think of being an elementary age kid, right? And we would throw the ball out from the front porch of his house, my buddy Dave's house, and as soon as we saw the lightning flash, and then we would run out there and grab the ball and try to get back before we heard the thunder. And we felt like God was playing with us. And I thought about that as that storm rolled in, as I'm sitting out at my folks' cottage, and all of a sudden I was overwhelmed with thankfulness for God's faithfulness to me for decades. Where did I see God today? Give him thanks for that. Who am I thankful that is in my life? How about being thankful for the challenges that have caused us to grow? We don't often do that, but Scripture encourages us to do that often, to give thanks for how God was with us through those challenges. How about remembering a time in Christ when he suddenly became very real for you? Maybe a camp experience, or maybe something happened, or a worship service, or something where he suddenly came close. Give thanks for that. Last Friday, I was with Youth for Christ, and I worked there when I was in college, and we took a walk down not just memory lane, but of God's faithfulness for 75 years to Kalamazoo Youth for Christ. Talk about a reason to be thankful. How about thinking of a Bible verse that has become important to you over the years? And give thanks for how it's impacted your life. Think of Christian mentors who made a difference in your life. Or remember a time when creation spoke. And remember mostly that, where is Paul writing this from? Yeah, he says in our scripture he's in chains. And he's calling us to be thankful. So, zesty prayer in this summary of this great book. Second point, lively opportunistic conversations. Again, kind of a strange point, but look at verse 5. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. That make the most is actually an economic term. It means to buy out, make the most, corner the market even on something. Anybody ever watch Shark Tank? Okay, think of Shark Tank when a really good deal comes in front of them. They go all in, right? In the same way, we as Christians, when we see an opportunity to talk about the gospel, we should be all in. We should make the most of that opportunity. Even if it's a little crack, we should go after it. Folks, Christians aren't going to bring the subject up. And if they, or folks who aren't Christians, aren't going to bring the subject up. If they do, they're going to dance around it. And they're going to wait for you to step into it. So if you get a little crack, go for it. That's what the scripture says. Make the most of every opportunity. And, well, I remember I taught over at Parchment. Some of you know that, right? Taught music over at Parchment, not far from here. I didn't go to the teacher's lounge very often. But I was in there one day reading a paper, just needed to put my feet up. A couple guys were in there, including Jim Strelo, who was a counselor. And another guy walked into the teacher's lounge, and he just dressed Jim up one side and down the other. I have no idea. I can't even remember why. Something about how he was scheduling classes for kids. And he just yelled at him. And he went storming back out the door. And I was still behind my paper. And Jim Strelo, the counselor, turns to another guy. He says, you know, he goes to that Bible church down the road. Why is the people who are most kind of open in their faith, can sometimes be such jerks? from behind the paper, I just said, bad bowels. And Jim said, what, Gillette? I said, bad bowels. I pulled the paper down. He said, what are you talking about? I said, oh, it's simple. C.S. Lewis explains it. He said, think of what the guy would be like without Christ, and he'd really be bad. But he's got bad bowels. That's an English expression for having indigestion. So he's cranky because he's got indigestion, and just think what he'd be if he didn't have Christ. Jim goes, Gillette, you're kind of weird, but I like it. Which brings me to the next point. If you look at 6, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer with everyone. That seasoned with salt is actually an idiom, which means use humor. Christians use humor as you have a chance to corner the market, so to speak, as you make the most of every opportunity and go forward. Make the most of every possible conversation. If the door cracks open at all, move towards it and make a difference. It's okay, by the way, to be funny. I'm an associate pastor now who's absolutely hilarious, and we believe he's a gift from God. Now, if any of you, he's also single, so if you have anybody you want to head my way, female, I'd be glad to talk to you after the service. And we're to be graceful in the process. Grace, charis, is usually a theological term. In this case, it means pleasantness, attractiveness, winsomeness. Are you with me so far? Okay, third point of this summary is acknowledge. We need to acknowledge our interconnectedness. Did you catch this? It's easy to run past. Verse 8, Paul says, I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening. Paul starts with two people. He's sending back to the Colossian church. First, Tychicus, who was a dear friend, he says, and who was involved in the founding of that church. He says, look, I'm beyond the letter, I'm going to send him back to you so he can give you the inside scoop on how I'm doing. But I'm also sending Onesimus, who is a former slave who Paul converted. If you want to read that story, go to Philemon later on tonight. But once he gets started with two folks, what does he do? He plays, well, we would call it Dutch bingo. Right? He starts to say, oh, greet, we didn't read it, but he says, greet so-and-so, greet so-and-so. Oh, yeah, and greet so-and-so, greet so-and-so. What does that point to? Our interconnectedness in our faith in Christ Jesus. And that's something to celebrate. That's something to celebrate. Don't be ashamed of that. Don't be afraid of playing Christian bingo. Don't be afraid of letting your love for brothers and sisters in Christ be evident to people, because that makes a huge difference. There's a young mom who is now a member of our congregation who years ago she'd been brought up the faith, but she took off and she headed the wrong way. And we started to have some conversations. She started to hang back around. And I finally said to her, look, do you want this? Do you want to believe in Jesus? Do you want to put him central to your life? And she gave me a really honest answer. She said, you know, I see my parents and the love they have for each other and the love they have for other folks around this church. And I feel like a kid at a candy store with my face pressed up against the glass. And I see what's inside and I want it. And I said to her, Karen, I'm going to keep praying for you, but all you have to do is ask for it. And you can have it. And the next Sunday I saw her. And I just went up to her and said, Karen, well? She said, yeah, I went home after we talked and I got on my knees on my living room floor. And I turned my life over to Jesus. Zesty prayer, lively opportunistic conversations, acknowledge our interconnectedness. And then we're going to be showing up Jesus in all his glory and his greatness and his sufficiency. Let's pray. Lord, we can't tell how you might want to use this gathered group of believers in this week ahead. We know that you have plans far beyond what we could know. But we want to offer ourselves to you. Keep us strong in prayer. Keep us zesty in prayer. May we have a whole lot of Gregories running around, whether they're named that or not. But Lord, help us to see opportunities and run towards them. And be unafraid and unashamed to show how the family of God enlivens and supports and shows your love in our midst. Thank you in advance for what you're going to do as we offer ourselves to you. We do say, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Amen.